There are some things you just can't do on your own, and because they essentially aren't individual things. But there are also some things you can't do on your own because, frankly, they are just too difficult. It might be that job that you've taken on and you realize, whoa, you're way out of your depth. It might be that difficult conversation you have to have where you actually know you need someone else there with you. And it might be living the Christian life. Living the Christian life. Living as a disciple of Jesus. It may not sound like the hardest thing in the world, but if you think that, just look again at the Old Testament in the Bible. Because the 39 books covering a period of around 1700 years actually have one consistent thread running through them. The complete inability of God's people to live faithfully as God's people. Time and again, they committed themselves to do that, to serve the Lord and live for him. And time and again, it wasn't long before they'd lost it. There seemed to be something in them which constantly worked against them being faithful to the Lord. That sort of sat-nav thing that I was talking about earlier. And that something was, of course, sin. Now, sin is one of those kind of churchy words which most people in our society don't really understand. But it's quite simple, really. Sin has I in the middle. Sin is putting myself at the center of my life, the place where God should rightfully be. And it means that I will always struggle to live a faithful life as one of God's people. In fact, without someone to help me, I never will. But where could help like that come from? No other human can really help me, because we're all in the same boat on this one. But what we can't do for ourselves, God can do for us. We're finishing a short series this morning about knowing God. Not just knowing about God, but actually knowing God, having a personal relationship with him. 2 weeks ago, we saw that it begins with knowing that God loves us. But that's a love which we have to respond to if we actually want to know him. Last week, we saw that because of God's love for us, he acted to rescue us from the sin in our lives which has alienated us from him. And which means that whilst the majority of people in our community would like to know God personally, the majority are also aware that that isn't the case for them. They don't really know God personally. But again, although God in his love has made it possible for us to be rescued from that situation, that is something that we have to respond to. And the God who loves us and the God who has rescued us is also the God who wants to help us live as his children. Let's turn now to the Bible to hear about that. I think Pam is going to read for us.
Today's reading is taken from Gospel of John, chapter 14, starting at verse 15. It can be found on page 1082 of the Pew Bible. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That has got to be one of amongst the best loved verses in the Bible. What a great promise. That promise of peace, not having troubled hearts. That promise of a state which, let's face it, isn't exactly how most of us live most of the time. And maybe that's because that verse isn't just kind of there in a vacuum. There's a context for the peace which Jesus promises. He just told his disciples that he was going away from them. And in the previous chapter, Jesus says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer." And for the disciples, that must have been pretty stressful. They'd had Jesus with them, they'd relied so much on him, and now he wasn't going to be there. If anything could take away their peace, surely it would be that. But Jesus now tells the disciples that even though he's going away, they'll actually not be abandoned. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So Jesus was going away, and someday they would go to be with him. But until then, he would come to be with them. Not bodily, but through the Holy Spirit, through his Spirit. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." So this isn't kind of Jesus coming back. It's Jesus saying that the Holy Spirit would come. The Spirit isn't Jesus himself. He's the third person of the Trinity. But when you respond to God the Father's love for you and trust in the rescue which God the Son died to achieve, then God the Spirit lives in you. And Jesus' presence with us through the Spirit really is life transforming. And it's something that we can be confident about because we read about it in the Bible and look what Jesus says. "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said." That verse is actually our guarantee that what we read in the Gospels is true. Not because the apostles had spectacular memories, but because the Holy Spirit brought to mind for them all that Jesus had said and done. So that now, 2,000 years later, we can meet with Jesus in the pages of the Bible. And that really should be some incentive for us to spend time reading the Bible. And it's as we read the Bible that we read that Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." In a world where so many suffer from anxieties and neuroses, we can have peace. In a world where so many feel alone, we can have Jesus with us. In a world of suffering and illness, we have an advocate who's there to help us. So that's kind of the promise of Jesus. But it may be that I'm not the only one here this morning thinking, doesn't always actually seem much like that. Do you always experience that peace that the world can't give? I know I don't. And I think it's because, as well as telling us about that peace, Jesus explains how it is tied in with living our lives. And we need to go back to the beginning of that reading, to verse 15. where Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And actually, that's what we heard. That's what's written here. Actually, I think the more common translation of that verse actually is the better translation. It's a difficult one, but I think it is better to translate it, if you love me, you will obey what I command. It's just the same thing that Jesus says in verse 23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. It's not an instruction, if you love me, you must do what I say. It's actually a statement of cause and effect. If you love me, then inevitably you'll do what I say. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If you love someone, you will want to please them. If you love someone, it's bound to affect how you act. Of course, that doesn't mean that you'll always automatically do just what the person wants. We're still fallen creatures. We still have that element of self-centeredness. But if you love someone, your aim will always be to please them. So what is it that Jesus commands? Well, in one sense, of course, it includes all of his teaching. But within that, there's a specific command. If you just flip back a little bit, you'll find that in John 13, Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. And then you flip on to the next chapter. This is my command, love each other. So when Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command, specifically, he's saying that if we love him, we will love each other. And that's kind of challenging, because it means that if you want to know whether you actually do love the Lord, just ask yourself, how do you feel about the other members of Christ Church? Are you eager to meet with them? Did you come here this morning looking for some way to encourage the others here? Do you pray for the others here? Do you spend time during the week asking the Lord to show you if someone in the fellowship here needs your help or your company? Are you using your gifts to serve others here? You see, if you're actually fairly indifferent to others in Christ Church, if you kind of just put up with the other people here but don't really care that much about them, then I'm afraid that actually, whatever you might think, you are indifferent to the Lord. You might think you love the Lord, but this is the acid test. So the peace which Jesus promised actually is linked to the relationships that we have within church. But that's tough, isn't it? I think that if you're honest, you'll have to admit that that doesn't always come naturally. Because there is something inside me which wants to put me first. I won't naturally do what God wants me to do. And I certainly won't naturally put others first. And that can mean that, yes, I'll serve others in Christ Church when and how it suits me. Now, this is really tough. So was Jesus being hopelessly optimistic when he said, if you love me, you will obey what I command? Well, no, I don't think he was, because he didn't just say that. If you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So you see, when you put your trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And he is the one who can help you live as a disciple of Jesus. One of the first ways that will show is that you find that you start to love those odd people who for some reason God has chosen to be part of his church here. But it'll go on from that. The Holy Spirit is the helper. And of course, that's just one specific example of how the Holy Spirit helps us. His work is gradually to shift me from the center of my life so that Jesus takes his rightful place there. And doing that is life transforming. which is all great. But how does it connect this morning? You see, I guess that there'll be some people sitting here this morning thinking, yeah, so what? It's all very interesting, but why should I want to be a disciple of Jesus anyway? Why should I want Jesus first in my life? I'm fine as I am, thank you very much. To which I would have to reply, are you? Are you fine as you are? Do you really have that peace that Jesus talked about? Is your life the best that it could be? You see, the life that God wants for all of us is one characterized by love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So is that you? Is that your life? You see, ultimately, only the Holy Spirit can give you those things. And I can tell you this morning that no matter how good you think your life is at the moment, without the Holy Spirit in your life will never be all that it could be. But I suspect that there'll be others sitting this morning thinking, yeah, if only. Maybe thinking, yeah, there was a time when it just did seem a bit like that, but it doesn't seem to be working anymore. And if I'm honest, I'm just going through the motions. The Holy Spirit helping me doesn't seem to be doing it at the moment. But you see, the thing is that just as we have to accept God's love and receive his rescue, we do need to cooperate with his help. You see, the Holy Spirit will help you to love others in Christ Church. But if you don't actually put that into practice, he will help you to resist temptation. But if deep down you don't really want to resist temptation, he will help you to fulfill Jesus' glorious agenda for your life. But if what you really want is for him to fulfill your own agenda for your life, all of those things will just sap the life out of you. The Holy Spirit can help you do those things. But as the church leader David Watson used to say, God has filled me with his Holy Spirit, but I leak. And it is so true. And that means that if you're feeling like that today, if you're feeling, yeah, this just doesn't seem to be working anymore, maybe you need to ask him to fill you again and to renew in you a desire for God's priorities for your life rather than your own priorities. So knowing God really involves knowing God the Trinity. God the Father loves me, but I have to respond to that love. As I said a couple of weeks ago, it is quite possible to know that God loves you. In fact, it's quite possible to recite the whole of the creed and yet still not to know God's love. It's relational. It demands a personal response. God the Son has rescued me. Jesus died the death I deserved so that I could be rescued from being alienated from God and become his child. But I have to accept that rescue. I have to accept Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. I have to ask him to come into my life. Or else it's just a fact out there somewhere. And God the Holy Spirit then helps me to live that new life. Only that he can help me to be like Jesus. And when he fills my life, that is what will happen. But I have to cooperate with him. And all of that means that this morning, you and I have a choice to make. It might be a choice that you'll make for the first time, maybe one that you've made in the past, but which, if you're honest, you need to renew. And the choice is, this morning, will you receive that life-transforming love of God? Will you receive the rescue that Jesus came for? Will you welcome the Holy Spirit into your life so that he can help you to be like Jesus? If the answer to that question this morning is yes, then you might want to ask members of our prayer ministry team to pray with you, because as Steve has said, there's just something so very powerful about that. And so do please sort of make the most of that after the service. And if you're on the prayer ministry team, be ready for people to do that. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. That's God's offer to you this morning. And quite frankly, it seems to me like an offer you'd be a fool to miss out on. Let's pray. God, our Father, we do thank you so much that actually you want us to know you. That even though you are great beyond anything we can even begin to conceive, yet still you are interested in us personally and want us to know you. Thank you that you do love us. Thank you that your love means that you have done everything necessary for us to be rescued, to be born again as your children. And thank you that even then you haven't finished with us, because you love us so much that you want to live in us by your Spirit, enabling us to live life to the full. And this morning, I just pray that you will give each of us grace to accept this amazing offer of yours. This offer of knowing you personally and of knowing you living in us by your Spirit. Please help us not to go from this building just the same way that we came in. That help us to go knowing that we don't just know about you, but that we know you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're coming towards the end of our service, and as we do that, we're going to sing once more, Holy Spirit, living breath of God. It's a prayer that God will indeed fill us and renew us by his Spirit. So let's stand and sing this, and as we do, we'll take up our collection.